Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gambia Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at GBC, and I trust that you hear the invitation of God as you join us today. This week, we start a sermon series that will recur throughout our year, entitled On This Rock, Personal Reflections on Foundational Texts. Each sermon will be a text, biblical character, or theme that has been particularly foundational for the preacher. The title is taken from Matthew 7, where Jesus says that anyone who hears his words and listens to them is like a wise person who builds their house on a rock. This week, our newly appointed associate pastor, Matt Willis, reflects on what he has learned from Abraham about waiting for the promises of God.
My name is Matt. I am one of the associate pastors here at GBC. And I've got to admit, I'm really pumped for this series, On This Rock, personal reflections on foundational texts. And I'm excited to kind of share with you guys one of the many lessons that God has taught me over my life and share with you a little bit of my story. But I have to admit, when I was tasked with choosing just one scripture that has played a significant role in my journey of faith, I was overwhelmed with choice. I mean, we all have that list, don't we? That list of scripture, that list of themes or individuals within the scriptures that we find ourselves constantly going back to meditate on and reflect on. Scripture that has encouraged us and comforted us. And at times where we've really needed it, provided a sense of certainty that, hey, God is in this, God is doing something, God is with me. And these scriptures have kind of become the biblical bumper stickers of our road trip with Jesus. They are what we anchor ourselves to when life hits us with the hard stuff and the challenging stuff and the complicated stuff. And for me, one of the most significant foundational texts in my life is actually not a text per se, but a person, the person of Abraham. Or more specifically, Abraham's experience of living within the ambiguity and the frustration and the pure, undiluted joy of God's promises. And I don't think I'm the only one who has ever had a little bit of a love-hate relationship when it comes to the promises of God. I mean, there is great excitement and great potential when it comes to what God has in store for us. And I think it's safe to say that we all want to live within the promises that God has made for us, because they are just that. They are God's promises. They are bigger and they are better and they are more than we could ever assume for ourselves, more than we could ever make for ourselves. So of course, why wouldn't we want to live within that space? Why wouldn't we want to live out what God has made for us, has planned for us? But on the other side of that very same coin, our experience of getting to the promises of God, that experience and that journey of trusting the call, of waiting for it to unfold and being prepared for what's to come, well, that journey can be a more difficult one, a challenging one, a tumultuous one. We can get distracted by impatience, with doubt, and with our own perception of what our life should look like. And we get caught up with questions like, did I hear God right? Am I ready for this? Is this really what I want for my life? And so it all kind of becomes a little bit of a hot mess where we're caught between wanting the fullness of what God has in store for us, but not fully understanding exactly how we're supposed to get there. And for me, it's been an area of my journey of faith that God has really put his finger on and pushed on, sometimes in really brutal and difficult ways, challenging me to understand and to wrap my head around what it looks like to prepare and be ready for the promises that God has for me in my life. And the person of Abraham has played a really significant part in me understanding what we as a community of believers should expect, what we should be expecting when it comes to living both before and within the promises of God. And so there are three things that I kind of want to draw out of Abraham's story for us tonight. Three things that I believe we should be expecting when we seek to live out and live within the promises of God. And three things that I see not only in Abraham's journey, but in my own. So the first and probably the least surprising is that I believe we need to expect to wait. Now we need to start thinking about the promises of God as a bit of a road trip and understand that sometimes the journey is just as significant as the destination. Because we're called and we need to wait on God as his plans and purposes are revealed. But the issue is that we live in an impatient society. We're fixated with instant gratification and a love for shortcuts. And we've been conditioned to expect things to happen quickly. Just think about how frustrated you get when your Wi-Fi is slow, or that package doesn't show up on time, or heaven forbid, the barista's got a whole bunch of coffees before he gets to you. Amen. Although Dan and Kat, you guys did awesome tonight. Even when we read the account of Genesis, we get from the point of God making the promise to the point where the promise comes to fruition in just 9 chapters. 5 minutes, 10 tops if you're a slow reader like me. But in reality, it took Abraham and Sarah roughly 25 years to see the promises of God come to fruition. 25 long years, 52 weeks a year, 7 days a week. That's 9,125 days and nights spent waiting, praying, dreaming about a promise that was yet to come. Now that's plenty of time for them to start to second guess whether or not they'd heard God in the first place. Plenty of time to get frustrated and impatient, and plenty of time for them to come up with their own plan instead. And we see that throughout their journey in Genesis. But the reality is we can see that in our lives just the same. We let time determine the level of trust that we put in the promises of God. If it doesn't happen fast enough, then was that really what God wanted for me in the first place? And we let deadlines determine whether or not we get to the destination. We let deadlines create doubt. And before too long, the destination has died all because of our own sense of deadlines. But what if we thought about this time of waiting as actually having a real purpose other than to just torture us? What if the waiting was all a part of the road trip? Could it be that God is actually calling us into a level of trust so deep that we literally have to stop doing anything in our own strength and just wait on him, to simply be still and know that he's God? Because before we step into God's promises, we need to trust God's promises. But God's plans don't need our approval and they do not run on our schedule. If he said it, then he meant it and he will do it. But waiting invites us into this possibility to build trust, not just in God, but in the promise itself. Because the anticipation of what is to come can stretch and grow our own understanding of exactly what we're moving into. And I believe that God actually understands that and understands that for us. It's his way of not throwing us in the deep end, but actually giving us time to process what's to come. He makes us wait to prepare us for what comes next. And waiting was the first thing that God called me to do when he started to reveal his promises in my life. About 6 years ago, I found myself on my knees in prayer asking God for a job. Like many millennials, I had flitted and fluttered around job opportunities. And at the time that I found myself in my living room praying that night, I was in a job that I could tell was burning me out. So, knowing I needed a change, I sent off my resume here, there, and everywhere. I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted, but I knew, I had a real sense that the next role that I was going to step into was really going to shape my career. It was going to shape my future. And so as I prayed, I remember asking God, Lord, what do you want from me? What job do you have for me? What is next? And in that moment of prayer, and let's be honest, complete and utter desperation, I had one of the most profound experiences of hearing the voice of God. It was not something I had a lot of experience with. It was definitely not something that I was expecting. But I can say with absolute certainty that I heard God in a really direct, really profound, and really obvious way. And what I heard was a single name, Abraham. And with that name, I was flooded with this realization, this revelation, and this insight into what God was trying to say to me. And it comes out of the passage that Jess read for us in Genesis 17, 19 to 21. You see, God had made Abraham a promise that he would have a son and that through this son, he would build a nation. And in this promise, Abraham had a choice. He could either wait on the promise of God for Isaac, or he could go his own way through Ishmael. Both would be blessed by God. Both would see Abraham be the father to a son, and both would see his descendants be great. But only one would allow Abraham to experience the fullness of God's promise and purposes for his life. Only Isaac, the son through whom God would build a nation, his holy people, the son through whom the prophets would later tell us that God would bring about the source of our salvation in Jesus. This was the promise of a son, Isaac. But Abraham would have to wait for that promise to unfold. And I realized in that moment that God was making a promise to me as well. And he was telling me that I too had a choice. I could go and find my own way, get my own job, and it would be good. God would bless it. I had a real sense that he meant that. Or I could wait. I could wait for the promise that God was preparing for me. A promise that wouldn't just be good, it would be great. And it would see me in a role that I was made for, a role that God had prepared for me. And it wouldn't just be a job, it would be a calling. All I needed to do was wait. Not exactly what you want to hear when you're asking God for an answer, but hey, I rolled with it. And so I waited for 12 months. And that 12 months stretched me. It stretched my faith. And although it was hard and it was challenging, it stretched it for the better. I found myself relying on God more, relying on him as I struggled in a job that was really destroying my soul. I found myself on the lookout for what God was doing in my life and in the world around me, hoping that I might just catch a glimpse of that promise of what was to come next. I found that God was preparing me so that when his promise was revealed, I was ready for it. And I was. It was when Radar called me into his office and asked me to be the interim youth coordinator while they found someone else for the role. A little bit awkward. But I knew without a shadow of doubt that that is exactly what God was preparing for me. Because I waited, I was ready. And we should expect to wait for the promises of God to be revealed. Because sometimes the journey is just as significant as the destination. And the second thing that I think we need to expect is that we should expect to act. Now, it might feel like a bit of a contradiction. Am I waiting or am I acting? Choose one and let's go with it. But where waiting kind of builds our sense of trust in what God is calling us into so that we don't go down a different path, acting on the promises of God prepares us for what's to come. It makes us realize, and it's God's way of revealing, that we're actually called to participate, to play a part in the promises of God. And too often we fall into this trap of thinking that we can just take a back seat in our own road trip towards the promises of God. We fall into this mindset that if it's God's promise, then he'll just make it happen. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to be involved. It'll happen when it happens. And it's almost as if we get too patient, too comfortable, which is just a nice way of saying that we're getting too complacent. Now, don't get me wrong, God has got it, and he is the one who will ensure that everything occurs according to his plans and purposes. Don't hear me saying that we can determine the promises that we receive from God, because we most definitely cannot. But if I can push the road trip analogy just a little bit further, If God is in the driver's seat, and trust me, God is always in the driver's seat, then we need to make sure that we're sitting up front. We need to be riding in shotgun, because that's where we get the best sense of where we're going, so that when we arrive, we're best prepared for what we walk into. The promises of God don't just happen to us, they unfold around us, and we need to be ready for when that time comes. We need to be putting in the effort. Look at Abraham. Each time God told him to move on, he faithfully packed up his tent, packed up his life, and moved to the next spot. Not because he was scared, not because he was fearful that if he didn't, God would renege on his promises, but because he had received the promise. He trusted the promise and was putting in the effort that would best prepare him for when the promise unfolded around him. We don't need to earn God's promises, but we do need to put in the effort, because the promises of God do demand something of us, don't they? They call out the best from us, and they confront us at times with things that make us feel uncomfortable. But the promises of God are not about the easy life and settling for mediocrity. The promises of God compel us into change. And if we want to live within those promises, we need to remember that we did not sign up for the easy life, but that we are called into a full life with Jesus. And that demands something of us, because the greatest treasures in life are the ones that we have worked for, sweat for, and bleed for. And we inherently attach value to the things that we've worked the hardest to accomplish. So why would we not expect, when it comes to the very promises of God, that we would not need to work for it, to act on it, to be prepared for what God has in store for us? Now for me, my action was to wait. It was to sit on my hands. It was to actively not send out resumes, to actively not look for other job opportunities, but just wait. The irony is sometimes the action is the waiting. But other times the action is about preparation. It's what we can be doing to best prepare us for what is coming. Knowing that the promise is made is not enough. We need to be willing to work towards it. Like Abraham, it might be moving on, moving to the next thing, the next place, the next opportunity. Each time growing, preparing, and learning. We need to expect to act, so that when we arrive and the promise is before us, we are ready to get out of the car and get at it. And thirdly, finally, and probably most importantly, we need to expect more from the promises of God, because they are bigger than a single destination. For Abraham and Sarah, in their mind, the destination was a child. I don't know if you've read their story in Genesis, but it's the main thing that they constantly keep coming back to. When are we going to get this kid? And even just before the passage that Jess read, Abraham laughed at the idea that they would get a child. In many ways, that's all they were looking for. And that was their problem, because they lacked an imagination. What we see in God's covenant with Abraham is so much more than just an offspring. God has given Abraham a new identity, a new name, a rebirth. He promises fruitfulness and blessing over Abraham and his entire household. He promises that Abraham won't just be the father to a son, but the father of an entire nation. His lineage will bring about kings, and they will inherit the promised land. God's promise is an everlasting one. The relationship that we see established here in Genesis between God and Abraham is one that echoes throughout the generations. This promise is a little bit more than a gender reveal party saying, hey, it's a boy. It is so much more than what they expected. But the reality is, when dealing with the creator of the universe, we should all be expecting more. And yet too often we confine and we restrict the promises of God into these single solitary moments, these single experiences or outcomes. And we project our own ideas of what we want or what we need onto the promises of God. So that when we get what we want or we get what we need, we think, hey, the job is done. But the problem with that is that we too can suffer from a lack of imagination. And like I said, we need to start thinking about the promises of God as a road trip. And one of the fundamental rules of any good road trip is that it has multiple destinations, multiple pit stops, each adding to the experience, each with lessons to be learned, each with a part to play in the overall story, the overall journey. This is the God who created the universe that we're talking about, whose thoughts are too lofty for us to obtain. Surely he might have something up his sleeve that we don't know about. And we should expect more from the promises of God. 5 years ago, when I stepped into the youth coordinator role, I believed that that was my destination, that that was my promised land, that that was the fulfillment of everything I'd been waiting for. And yet, in reality, God had so much more in store for me, so much more he had planned, so much more to the promise that he hadn't shown me, that I hadn't had the eyes to see, because I had confined and restricted God's promise in my life to just one role, one position, one opportunity. And it wasn't till I was here that I started to see that there was more, that I started to hear other people speak into my life, challenge me to consider the more. And what God was really doing is that he was laying the foundation for his promise, on which he would later build upon, developing it, growing it, and expanding the promise he had made for me. And once I realized that I needed to open my eyes and start to expect more from what God had in store for me, it was only then that I could start to see the more, to acknowledge the more, and live in the more. The promises of God are bigger than a single destination. We need to expect more from this road trip, because this is happening all around us. The promises of God are happening all around us. They are unfolding each and every day in the big moments and in the little moments, in our homes and our workplaces and our schools, with our family and our friends. Little invitations for us to be stretched, to trust and to grow. Invitations to step into something more, something bigger, something better, something new. Something that God has been waiting for us to receive, to experience and live within. Something that brings life and life to the full. And in order for us to be able to step into those promises that God has for each and every one of us, we need to start to expect a few things. We need to expect that we might need to wait, and that in the waiting, our trust is strengthened, not only in God, but in the promises he's making for us. We need to expect that we should have to act, that we might need to participate, to play a part in the promises that God has made in our lives, and that by doing so, he is best preparing us for it. And most definitely, we should be expecting more, because God has always got more to give, more to learn, more of the journey. And when we step into the promises that God has for us, what we're really doing is we're stepping into that same relationship that Abraham stepped in, that same relationship, that same fullness of life that echoes throughout the generation. We experience the very thing, the very essence that God has installed for us, which is amazing. But not just for us. There is this incredible opportunity for it to impact those around us. Because just imagine what the world would see when a community of believers are living the fullness of the life that God created for them. Imagine what they would see if they saw a community of believers living out the promises and the plans and the purposes that God himself has created for them. Being stretched, building trust, and always expecting more. Imagine what they might say to them, what that might say to them, what it might teach them, what it might show them. Because what I believe is that when we live in the fullness of God's promises, we get to live the full life, but the world around us gets to know that he's our God and that we are his people. Amen? Amen.
We should expect to wait, for the extraordinary promises of God to be fulfilled. And I hope that you've been encouraged to allow the promises of God to fill your heart, to fire your imagination, and to drive your actions as you journey with Him on the great road trip of faith. Thanks so much for joining us this week, and don't forget, you can go deeper with this message by listening to the Big Three podcast, where Matt will unpack three questions raised by our evening congregation from this sermon. This podcast comes out on Wednesdays, and after a hiatus over Easter, we're back again this week. We'd also love for you to join us at one of our Sunday services, either online at gbconline.org.au at 9:30 Australian Eastern Time, or at one of our on-site services. And you can visit our website at gaimiabaptist.org.au for service times. Until next time, God bless.